drowned Pharaoh's army behind them. They had success and they came out with a high hand. And so these are the people that are being discussed in this passage in the book of Psalms. And so they had, one of the things that they had as they came out of the land of Egypt is that they had a law. They had a mandate. They had a statute. They had a command from God. Everything that they needed was put in their life for the purpose of actualization. And so they came out equipped. Say, everybody say equipped. They came out ready. Everybody say ready. They came out with a calling. Everybody say a calling. There was a plan of God for their life. There was a purpose of God for their life. And so they came out with a mandate. They came out with a law. The testimony that they had, however, the testimony that the next generation had as they traveled through the wilderness. One generation would have the law and carry the law. But as the plan of God transitioned from one generation to the next, there would be a generation that would rise up, that would be equipped, and they would have the purpose of God on their life. They would also have the destiny of God. But they would not have a testimony, because the nature of this kingdom business is that it has to transition from one generation to the next. They had a design from God. They had a place that had equipped them and developed them. They had some tools that were in their hand, but they had not used the tools yet. He begins to talk about the man Ephraim. He said he was equipped. He was armed. Everybody say armed. He had bows, and he had arrows, and he had things that he could use for the battle. But he had not yet experienced the miraculous hand of God in going into the land of promise. They were sharpened by teaching and by preaching and by development, but they had never used those arrows in battle. And this is the nature of the people of God and the children of God. It's one thing to have all of the tools that you have to have. It's one thing to have the development that you need to have. But it's another thing to have the courage or the heart to go into the battle. I'm just here to tell you tonight that I am preaching to a generation. You have the testimony of the previous generation, the things that God has done in their lives. You have the stories of generations gone by and the successes that they have had, but it's another thing to take the tools that have been put into your hand and to begin to exercise those tools. It's one thing to watch a previous generation have success in ministry, but it's something else altogether as you begin to take the development and the preparation that has been done in your life and you begin to exercise those things. And the difference is there has to be something on the inside of another generation. I'm just telling you, it's an invisible force, but it's a force that has to live on the inside of you that says, I'm willing to take the tools that have been put into my hands and I'm willing to go out into the battle. Is there a generation tonight that has made up your mind that I'm not satisfied with the victories of previous revivals? I'm not satisfied with the stories of my ancestors, but I want to have my own victory. I want to see God move in my life. I want to see the hand of God working in my generation. Praise God. Praise God. There is this invisible quality or characteristic that is courage. Brother Jermaine talked about on Sunday night, there has to be something on the inside of you. We can do all the development that we want to do. We can do the preparation. We can do all of the, we can put all the structures in place. But there's something you find out about yourself in the moment of the conflict. There's something that you find out about yourself in the heat of the battle. It's one thing to say I'm prepared. It's one thing to spend the time, Brother Manny, in the gym pumping the weights and doing all of the development. It's one thing to get the biceps and the triceps right. But it's another thing all together to be in the heat of the battle, to face down the adversary and say, I understand that there's a cause. I understand that there is a purpose. I understand that there is the mark of God on my life. I'm telling you, a calling from God, a destiny from God on your life will drive you into the battle. It's not enough to stand on the sidelines and say, I've got the arrows, I have the bow in my hand. It's something else altogether to say, I'm going to the battle and I'm going to confront the enemy and I'm going to take territory. I'm telling you, there's territory, young person, that God has placed in your life. There are boundaries to your inheritance of God, and God wants you to possess your land. God wants you to possess your high places, but there's got to be a point where you're willing to step up into the battle and say, I'm willing to fight. I'm willing to do the work. I'm willing to do the heavy lifting. God's looking for, I'm telling you, we're in the middle of a season of revival, and God is looking for a generation that won't get weary in the battle. God's looking for a generation that says, I'm willing to continue to put all of my best efforts to the forefront. I'm willing to claim everything that God has for my life. I'm willing to face my adversary head on and not be like Ephraim that fell back. He had everything that he needed, but he wasn't willing to face the enemy. Praise God. Having a heart for the battle. Having something down on the inside of you that's willing to pay the price, that's willing to do the work. It's one thing to have a move of God on a Sunday night. It's one thing to get a prophecy on a Sunday morning. It's one thing to have an altar experience, but it's another thing to get out into the week and continue to do business in the kingdom of God, putting one foot in front of the other, day in and day out. It's easy to have high church on a Sunday night and feel the anointing and the Shekinah of God. But the battle is not won on Sunday. The battle is won on Monday morning when it's time to get up and pray. The battle is won on Monday afternoon when all hell's breaking loose in your life. The battle is won on Tuesday evening when the storm starts to blow in and you're looking around and you're saying, I don't feel the God of Sunday night. I don't feel the God of the miraculous. I don't feel the God. That's where the real battle is won, and God's looking for a generation that understands you've got everything that you need, that understands you have a doctrine and you have a mandate, but who also says, before this battle is over, I'm going to have a testimony. Come on, it's one thing to hear a previous generation say, when I look back over my life and I think things over, I can truly say that I've been blessed. I got a testimony. It's another thing to say I was sick. It's another thing to say my baby was sick. It's another thing to say I went down to the hospital and I began to pray the prayer and I watched God do the work. Come on, I'm telling you, God's ready to give another generation a testimony. God's ready to give another generation an anointed ministry. God's ready to give you power to do exploits and to see the wonders of God in your life. Somebody clap your hands to him and shout to God. Praise God. Jesus, when he was calling his disciples, said, and Jesus said unto him, no man having put his hand to the plow and looking back is fit for the kingdom of God. Praise God. It's one thing to make the commitment. It's another thing to follow through. Praise God. God has given this generation a word. God has given this generation a prophecy. He's given you a promise that the latter rain is going to be greater than the former rain. But it's something else when you say, that's my word, that's my promise. I'm telling you, I'm talking to people tonight. We're in the middle of a season of revival, and all hell is broken loose in your life, and the enemy's been coming against you, and he's been waging war against you, and he's been questioning your identity. and he's been harassing your relationships, and he's been doing business in your mind and in your emotions. But God sent me here tonight to tell you that no weapon formed against you is going to prosper. That God's given you everything that you need to win the battle. God's given you everything that you need to win the war. God's given you everything you need to walk in dominion. God's given you everything you need to walk in your high places. But don't take the bait of Satan, and don't succumb to distractions at harvest time. We all face the temptation to turn back in the middle of the battle. And that's why Jesus is trying to get his disciples to understand something. He said, if you're looking back or you're looking over your shoulder, I'm just here to tell you, when a prophecy goes forth, you've got to buy it. The Bible says, buy the truth and sell it not. And a lot of times we attribute that to doctrine. And that is true. That's the first part of the equipping. God is going to give us what we need. I'm just going to tell you tonight that we have a superior message. The oneness of God is a superior message. Baptism in Jesus' name is a superior message. The infilling of the Holy Ghost, evidenced by speaking in tongues, is a superior message. It's the power of God. Come on, the Bible says, I am not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation, to the Jew first, and also to the Greek. But it's not just that truth that I'm buying. I'm also buying the truth of my calling. I'm also buying the truth of the mandate to go ye therefore into all the world and preach the gospel. And I'm telling you, the first thing the enemy's going to do when he comes against you is he's going to try to negotiate with you about the calling of God on your life. He's going to question your identity. He's going to say, if you are the Son of God. And I'm just here to tell you, that's the first place that you have to be willing to fight. What Ephraim was he was representative for the entirety of the nation of God. God was giving them the land of Canaan. God was giving them houses that they did not build and vineyards that they did not plant. God was giving them a dominion mandate. And it's fine when you're in the classroom and we're talking about battle. It's fine when you're in a developing the difference class and you're talking about a prayer life, and you're talking about consecration, and you're talking about fasting. It's fine when you're in a beautiful place and you're negotiating over the things of God, but it's something else altogether when you begin to walk out into your city, when you begin to take steps out in the streets of the city. I'm telling you, all hell begins to come against the people of God. And Ephraim, in the moment of conflict, with the bow in his hand and the arrows in his quiver, he fell back in the day of battle. But I'm here to tell you that God can put something down on the inside of another generation that says, I'm going to make the commitment at an altar, but when it comes time to go out into the city and put one foot in front of the other, I'm not backing down in the day of battle. I'm not turning my back in the day of battle. I'm going to be faithful. Come on, you got to get something down on the inside of you that says, I know my heart is afraid. I know I'm feeling the pressure of the day, but I'm willing to stand. I'm willing to face the adversary. I'm willing to lay everything on the line.
Amen. Praise God.
Thank you, Jesus. Well, that's the word.
Anybody like to fight?
You think all of that goes away when you come and live for God?
That scrappy tendency, the tendency to want to get into an altercation. I've heard people say that before. Man, I just need a good fight. I'm telling you, this generation needs a war. This generation needs a fight. Somebody, my wife sent me an article the other day from a lady in Ukraine dealing with all kinds of emotional problems and taking pills and struggling with depression. And all of a sudden, Russia came in and invaded. And now she's living every day
trying to help people that have been injured in warfare. And all of a sudden, she doesn't need the pills. Dealing with a generation without purpose, without a cause that's worthy of your life. Sometimes a generation needs a war. Needs a skirmish. Needs to be in a place where you're laying it all on the line. Where there's a purpose that's bigger than you are. I'm telling you, this generation needs a war. But let me tell you the privilege of living for God is every day is a battle. Because the people of God are engaged in the greatest conflict. Because the people of God are literally at a war for people's souls. Because everybody that dies in my life, everybody that I walk past in a day or in a week or in a month that dies that is not in covenant with God is going to a devil's hell. And I'm just here to tell you, a lot of times the stuff that you're dealing with that causes you to question your calling and that causes you to marginalize your calling, all the stuff that gets you distracted away from the calling of God on your life, all of those things represent spiritual warfare. I'm telling you, it's one thing to get 400 people in a church and shout and dance, but it's another thing to take a calling from God out into the battle and put it all on the line and understand that if I am not the difference to my world, who is going to be the difference? And so we walk out into our world and we say, no, God, this is why you created me. This is why you made me. There's a calling on my life. There's a destiny on my life. And everywhere that I go, I'm taking dominion, God. I'm taking dominion in my school. I'm taking dominion in my workplace. I'm not engaging in the conflicts of the environment of my day. But I'm going out and I'm doing business in the Spirit. That's where personal dominion, what we've been talking about, a dominion mandate, that it begins in us, that God desires possession, that God desires to own us, that God desires every part of our being, that God wants to possess our heart and our mind and our body. God wants to dictate our actions, our thoughts, and our emotions. And I'm just going to tell you, sometimes, this is what we talked about Sunday morning, but sometimes the greatest work is done, not even when you have all of the tools in your hand. Sometimes the greatest work is done, not when you have every accoutrement of war. See, there are some people who like to play the game, and there are some people who like to get all the toys of the game. Some people like to play basketball, and some people just like the wristband and the armband and the headband and the jersey and the shoes, and they just hang out around the court just because they... And you'll realize really quickly that the person with all the toys is usually not the person that's got the skill. Because some people just like, they like, man, I've got the bow and the arrows are sharp. Brother Jermaine preached about that recently. Man, you got to have sharp arrows and they have to... But there's a point where if you've got fight in you, where you have the battle in your heart, when you have a heart for the battle, that you show up to the conflict and you may not have all of the tools. You see, I'm afraid a lot of times, and I'll tell you this, if there is a place that could be guilty of that, it's New Life. I wrote a book about development. We spent years developing young people, sharpening them and shaping them and praying with them and fasting over them. And I mean, you can put as many instruments of war in their hand, but there has to be a point. There just has to be a point where no matter what is in your hand, you say, God, I'm willing to engage in the battle. What did Moses have in his hand? God is trying to deliver the people of God. God is trying to make a way across a wilderness experience. God is trying to bring them out of one of the most powerful empires in human history. And Moses is a shepherd, and Moses is standing there with a stick. And it's time to do the business. And God says, Moses, what's in your hand? See, that's the juxtaposition. You could be like Ephraim with the bows and the arrows and everything's sharp and everything's ready and you've got the outfit on and you have all the tools and the toys in place. But you could have somebody like Moses who is just on the backside of a desert just herding some sheep and he's got a staff in his hand. And God just looks at Moses and says, Moses, I don't need the fancy toys. I just need whatever is in your hand. And somebody that's willing to stand in Pharaoh's court and confront one of the most powerful people in human history. Yes, all you have is a stick. But if you've got a stick and you're anointed of God, God can take the stick and do the work with the stick. But if you don't have fight in your heart, you can have all the toys. But when you step out on the battlefield, you get your head handed to you. And you can get the word in your head. You can memorize all the scriptures. You can have the doctrine nailed down on the inside. You can have it all shaped and formed. The young preacher, listen to me. People, you feel a call of God on your life. There are preachers in this room, but let me tell you something. You can get the sermon just perfectly outlined. You can get it shaped just so and get the exegesis right and the hermeneutics right and get all of that polished and nailed down. But at some point, you have to go out into the highways and the byways and begin to compel people to come. I'm telling you, God doesn't need another fancy sermon. God needs an anointed person that's willing to step out on the battlefield. God needs somebody that's willing to open your mouth and begin to speak what you have been taught. God needs some young people who have a heart for the battle, who have something down on the inside of you that says, yes, I may have fallen down. Yes, I may have made mistakes. Yes, I may have dropped the ball, but that's not going to cause me to quit God and quit my calling and quit on my world. What's in me is bigger than my failure. What's in me is bigger than my condemnation. Come on, when your heart condemns you, God is greater than your heart and knows all things. That means before he formed you in the belly, he knew you and called you and ordained you. Stop hedging your bets with God and be willing to put everything on the line. Gideon, his thinking was messed up. His heart was messed up. He was threshing wheat in the wine press. He was hiding it from the Midianites. He was oppressed. But he got a word from God. He got a promise from God about what God wanted to do in his life. And that word from God began to speak to him. And in the middle of the conversation, God said, Gideon, I'm going to do some great things in your life. Gideon, I want to give you victory over the Midianites. Gideon, I want to give you dominion and authority and power. And Gideon begins to ask the question, where are the miracles of my forefathers? He's the people of God. He's in covenant with God. He has, in terms of salvation, he is positioned right. There are some things in Gideon's life that are correctly aligned, but Gideon is not walking in dominion. Gideon is not walking in power. He is not walking in demonstration. He is hiding. He is oppressed. He is living beneath his calling. And he begins to talk to the angel. And he said, yeah, I've heard my forefathers talked about what the Spirit of God did. My forefathers, I've heard the stories about the miracles of times past, but I haven't seen the miracles in my life. I haven't seen the breakthrough in my life. I haven't seen dominion in my life. I'm just telling you, it's one thing to have the right message, but it's another thing to be walking in demonstration of the Spirit of God. But as he begins to step out, and as he begins to act in faith, and as he begins to buy in, not fully, because sometimes when we are actualizing in the kingdom of God, we're doing it in the middle of the night, and we're doing it in hiding. I'm telling you, there are some young people that you've been attempting to do the work of God, but you've been doing it in hiding. You've been doing it halfway because you're afraid of what's going to happen when people find out who you really are. I'm just here to tell you that if that's the faith that you have,
engage that faith, do the work. He started tearing down idols to Baal and Molech and all of these gods of the Midianites. And in the process of time, God started to perform the miraculous in his life. I'm telling you, that's where he started to see God answering some prayers. It was in his obedience to the mandate and mission that his fleece to God started to be manifest. I'm telling you, you're going to start seeing some small prayers answered when you buy into the plan of God for your life. There are people just this week that have been calling me, telling me, since Sunday, I put some things on the altar and God has been answering my prayer. Is there anybody here tonight that since Sunday, God started to do some small things in your life? You've seen God open some doors. I'm telling you, God has been blessing people financially since Sunday morning. But I'm telling you, that is the tip of the iceberg for what God wants to do in your life, because we're about to walk into some places in ministry in the city of Birmingham we've never been before. God has given the city to this church. I said, God has given the city of Birmingham to this church. God is preparing us. God is positioning us to walk in some places of dominion that we've never walked before. God is positioning ministries to go out and do a work for the kingdom of God that we have never seen before. God is getting ready to launch some people into places of actualization in the kingdom of God that we have never seen him do before. I'm telling you, God is positioning people's finances right now to fund the ministry that he wants to do in this city. And I'm just here to tell you, you haven't seen anything yet. You haven't seen anything yet. But God is calling people out into the arena of faith. And he's trying to get you to understand that the things he wants to do in your life are going to require courage. To live by faith requires a level of courage that maybe you've never walked in up to this point. Living, I'm telling you, the devil is negotiating with people right now. Even as you sit here in your mind, you're having conversations where you're saying, yes, I'll give God this, but I won't give him that because I've already said I don't want that to, that's off limits. That's untouchable. But I'm here to tell you that God is calling some people to walk in levels of faith that you have never walked in before, so that you can walk in places of dominion that you've never walked in before. God's going to take the seed of what you have in your hand, and he's going to use it to execute vengeance and judgment upon your enemy. I'm here to tell you, there are situations that have been unbroken for generations of time, and God is preparing people in this church to begin to exercise dominion and vengeance over the adversary. There are some things that have not yet broken in the city of Birmingham, and God is going to use you to break them open. God's going to use your talent. God's going to use your resource. God's going to use your anointing. God's going to use your life and your family to break some things open you haven't seen him do yet. I'm telling you, the best is yet to come. I'm telling you, God's ready to do exceedingly, abundantly, above all that you can ask or think. Come on, somebody praise him. Somebody praise him for just a moment. Somebody praise him. You can't back up now. You can't back up now. You know too much. Some people are born great. Some people spend their lives in pursuit of greatness, and some people have greatness thrust upon them. I'm just telling you that some people come into the kingdom at a particular time, and God's looking at them and he's saying, you don't even realize it. You have no idea how important you are to the kingdom of God. You have no idea how much destiny is on your life. Esther had no idea when she was called, when she was summoned by the king, that she was being prepared and developed at a pivotal time in human history. She was being prepared and developed when a scheme, a plot was being meted out against the people of God. She was born to the kingdom for such a time as that, but Esther couldn't see it. I'm here to tell some people tonight, you have been thrust into a place in human history that your brain cannot comprehend, but the Spirit understands very specifically. You say, well, I don't have a whole lot in my hand. I'm here to tell you that whatever is in your hand is enough to have victory. You might feel inferior. You might feel like you're hiding, but what God has put in your life is enough to have victory, is enough to have dominion. Your life is enough. Your calling is enough. Your development is enough. Your preparation is enough. Your family is enough. Your finances are enough.
Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. Praise
God. All Gideon had was a handful of men that God continually reduced the number, and a candle, and a pitcher, and a promise, a word from God, a vision of what God wanted to do. That's what he had. That's what God needed. God didn't need anything more. He didn't need, and there's just a point where you have to step into the arena. There's a point where you have to cross the line from the stands into the arena. And you have to say, listen, God is unconventional. God is different. God does things differently. God can save by many or by few. But you can't be the kind of people that when the battle rages, you say, well, I'm leaving. You can't be the kind of people when the battle rages, when the rubber meets the road, when there's conflict in relationships, you say, well, I'm tapping out. That's exactly, I'm just telling you, if the devil can get the leadership in this church focused on a bunch of drama, then he can go. Take a picnic. We are destined people. We are called people. We are chosen people. We are the hope of the world. Praise God. And God is looking at some people here tonight, and he's trying to get you to understand. And I know you, there's some people here, you think, well, we've been preaching about the same stuff for the last 3 or 4 weeks. But I've never been at this point in my ministry where I've got a lot of stuff I can preach, but before every service, I just pray and ask God, what do you want to tell your people? That's how I approach the service. What do you want to tell your people, God? God is moving us toward a level of dimension and authority that we've never experienced before. And it requires a level of focus and determination that we've never walked in. And it's a level of oneness, one mind, and one accord moving in one direction to take the city of Birmingham. I've had a number of people come to me with dreams that they've had. One in particular, we were in the middle of the city of Birmingham, and we were having this massive, Brother Sam, go ahead and come. We were having this massive festival. There were people everywhere. It was church people and people from the city. And we had music playing. And there were booths set up. And the music was Christian. It was church music. And
The person who was having the dream said, I realized in the dream that we were at the very epicenter of the city and that the entire city was there. And he said, finally, I found you. And I said, how did you do this? How did we get to a place where we had the entire city present? And he said, you said we invested in reaching the whole city. What is it going to take to reach the whole city? In the last 2 weeks, this church has given financially, spontaneously. People all over this church have been giving. By the way, those who donated to Brother Bass's ministry, they just baptized 35 Trinitarian pastors. I'm telling you, what God is doing in the world right now is incredible. But God wants us to be connected to that level of authority and dominion and power. Between Saturday and Sunday of the last week, they baptized 35 Trinitarian pastors. We are putting together right now a marketing campaign. I don't know anything about marketing. I know some people that do. But Brother Ben, we are putting together a marketing campaign. I've had conversations today with Brother Davin, some business owners in our church. And we are going to begin to strategize for a way to reach every person in the city of Birmingham. Say, well, that's magnanimous. That's wow, that's pretty massive. God's given us the city. Let's act like it. Let's act like it's ours. Say, how much money is that going to take? I don't know. We're just putting the plan together right now. What is that going to look like? Is that going to be billboards? I don't know. Is it going to be mailouts? I don't know. It's going to be social media, Instagram, Facebook. I'm just telling you, God is moving us toward taking this city. And as we move toward downtown Birmingham, I'm telling you, what God wants to do in Daughter Works, what God wants to do in schools and in businesses is going to blow people's minds when you begin to see it. But we're marching toward the center of the city. And as that happens, there will be distractions. People will... How many of you have felt that in the last... Just be honest. I felt that in the last week. I felt distractions. I feel distracted. It's okay to feel distracted. But I'm just here to tell you that when we come back together, we're going to refocus. God, you've given us the city. We're taking the city of Birmingham. We're taking the city of Birmingham. We are taking the city of Birmingham. And I'm just... There's all kinds of theology about why the scripture is focused on Ephraim. There's this passage in 1 Chronicles chapter 7 where Ephraim has a conflict and he begins to lose sons. And he balks. Brother Antoine says, I didn't know it was going to cost that. That happened. There's some theologians that believe that Ephraim is just representing the nation. That when the prophet begins to speak to Ephraim, he's speaking to Israel. And he's saying that Israel in the wilderness
If you read this passage, the entire passage of chapter 78, if you go down the list, everything God did, listen to me carefully. Everything that God did in terms of the miraculous, they said, well, yeah, God, you gave us water, but what about bread? The whole time, God's thinking Canaan. The entire time, God is thinking the world. I want to give you dominion in the world. Listen to me. God placed us here, but God's not thinking about Birmingham. God's thinking about the world. Birmingham is a leverage point to reach the world. But if the enemy can get us focused on what God has not provided yet, and he can get us distracted, then he can stop us from taking Birmingham. And then Birmingham does not become a leverage point to reach the world. But this is, and I'm just telling you, God is trying to, he's trying to flip the switch for us right now. He's trying to get us to the point to where we can say, God, if you brought water up out of a rock, food ain't nothing for you. That's how we have to think. God, if you can part the Red Sea for my ancestors, you can do anything in my life. I'm telling you, as you connect your life and your family to the purpose of God for the city of Birmingham, God is going to heal your marriage. As you connect your life and family to taking the city of Birmingham, God is going to restore your finances. God is going to bring finance into your life that's going to cause you to be able to pay for the work that he wants to do in the city. I'm telling you, God's ready to pour out blessings on people's lives you haven't even begun to walk in yet. But God's saying, you got to take what is in your hand and use it for what I want to do in this city so that new life can reach the world. Come on, why don't you lift your hands right now and begin to pray a prayer. God, give me dominion. God, give me authority. God, give me provision. Give me everything that I need to reach my city. Come on, every hand lifted. Every hand lifted. Every hand lifted. Come on, this altar's open. Why don't you come in and get close right now? In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Come on, pray. God, give me a heart for the battle. Give me a heart for the battle. Come on, if you need the Holy Ghost, if you need the Holy Ghost, come and stand up in the front. If you've never been baptized in the name of Jesus for the remission of your sins, come on. We'll put you down in the water. With somebody right now and begin to praise God. Take somebody by the hand and say, come on, praise the Lord with me. Let us exalt his name. Let us exalt. Come on, go ahead and shake yourself. Go ahead and shake yourself loose. Shake off the troubles of the day. Shake off all the problems.
I'm on the paddle.